This evening we present Aida, an opera in four acts by Giuseppe Verdi, with a libretto by Antonio Ghislanzoni. The opera was commissioned to the Italian composer by the Viceroy of Egypt to inaugurate the opening of the Suez Canal and made its debut in Cairo in 1871. The Macerata Opera Festival celebrates this year the centennial of the first staging of Aida at the Sferisterio in 1921, when Count Pier Alberto Conti decided to present it in honor of the soprano Francesca Solari, his future wife, opening the doors of the Maceratese Theater to the opera. The Orchestra Filarmonica Marchigiana will be conducted by Maestro Francesco Lanzillotta. We recommend that you use the headset during the show, as brief descriptions of the main actions will be provided. After the second act, there will be an intermission of 20 minutes. 10 minutes after the beginning of the intermission, we recommend putting on the headset to hear the description of the next act. Now we will provide the plot of the first and second act and the description of the staging by Valentina Carrasco, the set design by Carles Berga, and the costumes created by Silvia Aimonino. The plot. During a military expedition against Ethiopia, Egyptian soldiers capture Princess Aida and, ignoring her true identity, take her to Memphis as a slave. Her father, the king of Ethiopia Amonasro, organizes a raid to free her and bring her back home. He does not know that his daughter has fallen in love with the young Egyptian warrior Radames, who reciprocates this feeling. Amneris, daughter of the king of Egypt, is also in love with the soldier and immediately senses the deep bond between the young slave and her beloved. The king learns that Amonasro's Ethiopian army is marching on Egypt and orders Radames to stop the advance. Aida is therefore torn between love for her homeland and love for Radames. Amneris receives her in her rooms and lies by telling her that Radames has died in battle. Aida's reaction to the news reveals her secret love for the warrior. Amneris, in the light of the discovery, threatens her. She is the daughter of the king and can do everything, unlike the poor slave. Aida reveals proudly that she too is of noble rank, but soon regrets it and seeks forgiveness. The trumpets of victory resound. Amneris forces Aida to witness the triumph of Egypt and the defeat of her people. Radames, greeted with a triumphal march, out of love for Aida, asks the king to free the Ethiopian slaves. The king of Egypt proclaims him his successor to the throne, giving him the hand of his daughter Amneris in marriage, and has the prisoners released. Under the advice of the chief priest Ramphis, Aida and Amonasro are held as hostages to ensure that the Ethiopians do not seek to avenge their defeat. Staging. Argentinian director Valentina Carrasco proposes an Aida set in the period in which the opera was commissioned to Verdi, around the end of the 19th century, a time when Egypt was dominated by the Ottoman Empire, among the expansionist aims of the British and the French. The era of the pharaohs and slavery that characterizes the original Aida is now recalled in the subjugation of the African people by Western powers. Colonial expansion goes hand in hand with industrial and economic development, thus leading to the construction of the first wells for the extraction of oil. Hence the director's idea of staging the exploitation of the Ethiopian territory through the construction of an oil pipeline on a virgin desert, which dominates the first part of the show. The Ethiopian people thus become enslaved and forced to work in the refinery, where Aida and Radames will find death. As the director recalls, the importance of oil, a symbol of a new form of energy that will mark the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, is also evident in 1921, when Aida was presented for the first time at the Sferisterio. In the photos of the time, in fact, the posters of the various sponsors posted on the wall of the arena show the names of companies mainly linked to the world of cars and fuels, such as Shell, Fiat, and Petrolio Aureola of Genoa. Nevertheless, in the words of the director, the colonization of a territory does not only take place at an economic level, but also at a cultural level. Hence the idea of a strongly westernized Egyptian people, represented by the King of Egypt and his daughter Amneris, who show distinctive European traits in costumes and attitudes. However, a conservative wing remains, the one made up of Ramphis and the priests, who try to maintain religious control over political issues.
Set design. The stage of the Sferisterio, in its entirety, is covered with 12 sand dunes, made with very fine rubber granules. The dunes, of different sizes and shapes, are arranged in an irregular way. In the center, the highest one is positioned, where the king will often climb with the colonial officers and Radames. A series of aligned dunes is positioned close to the back wall and is interrupted only at the central arch. At the beginning of the second act, the Virgin Desert hosts Amneris' Bedouin tent, consisting of a large rectangular brown cloth, raised in the front by three wooden poles fixed with ropes between the dunes. The interior of the tent is decorated with African rugs, carved wooden trunks and stools, and a rectangular floor mirror. To the right of the tent, a board with a wooden frame and pedestal is placed, where Amneris' friends write some letters of the Latin alphabet. With the triumph of Radames at the end of the second act, an imposing scenography is outlined. Two European engineers direct the work for the construction of an oil pipeline, composed of 11 groups of pipes of different shapes, made with polystyrene painted in dark gray. The pipes are brought to the stage by Ethiopian slaves and rest on iron scaffolding outlined by yellow construction lights. Four pipes are flanked by chimneys of smaller diameter, from which tongues of fire emerge when the refinery goes into operation. The central structure of the pipeline consists of three vertical pipes positioned in front of the opening of the back wall. On them, three circular instruments with lancets are installed, and underneath, three circular steering wheels to open the pipes. Above the structure, horizontally, a large pipe is raised, reachable thanks to two stairs with protective cage placed at the ends. On the sides of the central structure, there are two imposing chimneys about 5 meters high. To complete the scenography of the pipeline, steel barrels painted in red will be displayed.
Costumes. The more than 250 costumes, entirely made in-house by the Macerata Opera Festival Wardrobe Department, refer to different historical periods. The colonial period of the late 1800s is recalled by the white and blue uniforms of the colonial military, while the early 1900s and the progressive tension towards the West are emphasized by the costumes of Radames, the king, Amneris, and her friends. Finally, the costumes of the Ethiopian people are made with cotton fabrics with typical African motifs in bright colors, such as blue, red, yellow, orange, and green. In combination with the costumes, dancers and singers wear masks according to anti-COVID regulations. Aida, in the first act, wears a white linen petticoat with a V-neck, short sleeves, and a skirt down to her feet. Over it, a second dress with an emerald green crossover closure with floral prints and two flounces on the skirt. She also wears a white apron tight at the waist and a necklace with metal pendants. On her feet, flesh-colored sandals. Her Ethiopian origins are evoked by a curly black wig
decorated with a colored band, and by her hands painted in red and black. Radames, in the first act, wears a suit with a light gray single-breasted jacket, white striped shirt, and dove gray trousers tucked into brown leather boots. On his head, he wears a Panama hat, beige with a black ribbon. When proclaimed captain of the expedition, he wears black boots and a blue wool cloak, with white embroidered hems and a pointed hood with a hanging tassel. In the triumph scene, he wears a blue military jacket with medals hanging from his chest and a black belt with holster and pistol. Amneris wears a dove gray jumpsuit with palazzo trousers and V-neckline. Over it, a tapered blue-gray jacket above the knee length with a belt at the waist. She also wears brown and beige leather gloves cropped at the knuckles, a flesh-colored hat that covers her black bob hair, and gray lace-up shoes. In the triumph scene, over the suit she wears an ivory silk cape with white fur collar and cuffs, a matching hat with white feathers on the side, and long black satin gloves. The King of Egypt wears a black military uniform with a jacket with golden buttons, a stiff collar, and cuffs with golden embroidery. A golden brooch is pinned on the chest. Over his jacket, he wears a light blue diplomatic sash. The trousers are decorated with a gold-colored side band and tightened at the waist by a black belt with a hanging dagger. On his head, he wears a fez, a cylindrical North African headdress made of light blue cloth, and on his feet, shiny black lace-up shoes. He also wears a white cape. Amonasro wears a short-sleeved tunic and brown and red patterned trousers. Over the tunic, a dark gray semi-rigid bodice with a burgundy sash tied at the waist and a leather belt with a dagger. He has a burgundy cape and a turban of the same color on his head. On his feet, he wears brown sandals. His hands, like those of Aida and some Ethiopian slaves, are painted red and black. Ramses wears a black raffia tunic, a woven jute-like fabric with long sleeves and hood. He has a white beard and wears a black headdress with fringes that fall at the nape of his neck. On his feet, flesh-colored sandals. The 46 choristers are priests, colonial officers, and Egyptian soldiers. The priests wear the same tunic as Ramses, but of cotton, with the same headdress. They have a long pointed gray beard. The colonial officers wear a white military uniform with jacket and black belt with holster. The straps are decorated with golden insignia and the trousers tucked into the boots. They also wear the blue diplomatic sash and a white helmet. The Egyptian soldiers have a white military jacket with trousers of the same color and a blue cotton sash around the waist. On their feet, they wear brown leather sandals and a blue fez on their heads. The 33 singers are the Egyptian people and Amneris' friends. The Egyptian people wear ivory linen tunics with sashes at the waist and wide trousers. On their heads, headdresses with veils and turbans of light colors. Amneris' six friends wear 1920s style dresses with blue and beige coats, wide brim hats, bracelets, gloves, and handbags. The Ethiopian slaves are 35 citizens of Macerata. They wear tunics and baggy pants with brightly colored patterns. The hats are crocheted to give the idea of African braids with fabrics in warm colors such as red, orange, and yellow. The dancers, 9 women and 6 men, initially wear flesh-colored lycra underwear and a sand-colored organza veil down to their feet, which also falls behind the shoulders. Later, during the construction of the pipeline, they take on the role of Ethiopian slaves.